Flashback Twin Cities on Club 1220 KLBB. I am Tom Osmond on a slick Saturday morning. A little warmer, but a little slick outside. Found a nice wet spot to park the car today. James, how are you doing?
Hey, not too shabby. I'm glad you found a spot.
I did find a spot. I thought we'd talk a little bit about this morning. Have you been to downtown Minneapolis in a while, James?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I went to, I think, the Shout House maybe a month and a half ago.
The Shout House, and that is in Block E, correct?
I do believe so.
One of the last remaining tenants of Block E.
I had a few people from KLBB out with me. My buddy's a bouncer over there, so like, hey, I've never been. Let's stop.
Now, you probably have carte blanche to walk through the whole Block E mall because there really is there's nothing there besides Kieran's and the Shout House. This is...
Well, I think they have a few things over there. Saw Reefer Madness, the musical, right over there.
Oh, was that at the... What theater was that at? I know they...
Oh, gosh. Was that the Trust?
Okay. But in the Block E complex, which is what I think would be called a dead mall today, there's... I was walking in there recently, and they had a sign that said where Cold Stone and where Applebee's and where another adult-themed restaurant was... that sold wings, all these directions of places to go, and I thought, well, there actually is the parking lot, Kieran's, and the Shout House.
That's about it.
I thought we'd just take a little historical look of Block E this morning on our first segment. And in 19... Look at some history on Wikipedia right now, which has been cited, by the way. In 1950, as the rest of downtown gentrified, especially as a part of the Gateway District east of Hennepin was demolished and replaced with modern structures and parking lots, Lower Hennepin Avenue, where Block E sits, became known as a place for drunks, crime, and prostitution. Block E was a center of squalor, one of the city's most seedy bars. This is according to Wikipedia. It's an opinion.
Man,
piece.
I'm loving this description.
Was known for its whale of a drink. Unsavory establishments, including bars, flop houses, theaters, settled in Block E. The Hennepin face was anchored at each end by a Schindler's newsstand. The chain began at 6th Street in the corner in 1916 and later split into two companies, framing Block E as bookends on opposite corners. And the Schindler's just closed a few years ago, which is now called the Union Bar and Restaurant now. That building was empty for a long time. Other parts of Block E included the Rand Hotel, Brady's Pub, and McDonald's Townhouse. But by the 1980s, it was one of the choice places for punks and became a breeding ground for punk music. It was also known for its cheap rent, drawing establishments as the Rife Sports Gallery. Minneapolis police had a paddy wagon parked outside permanently between for the counterflow of bus lane and the northbound traffic lanes.
I gotta interject here. It says it was a breeding ground for punks.
A breeding ground for punks.
Awesome.
This was a little bit before my time.
Sure.
Where I was, hanging out downtown in Block E.
That is a professional description.
if you go to tcmedianow.com, there's tons of video because I think every year there's a crackdown in Block E. This is the year we're cracking down on the crime in Block E in the 70s, 80s until about 25 years ago this month, actually, when they started demolishing it. Let's take a listen. We're going to get the full news intro here. This is Channel 11. Which was known as WTCN, in June 1985, lead story, Crackdown on Block E.
Now, from the action center of the Twin Cities, News 11 with Paul Majors, Diana Pierce, Tom Reither on sports, and meteorologist Paul Douglas.
Good evening, Tom. Tonight's News 11, a police crackdown on street people in Minneapolis, and our News 11 investigative unit is on hand to bring you the pictures.
Today's arrest capped an intensive sweep of homeless people in the downtown area.
Today, 12 people were arrested on Hennepin Avenue. Charges against them range from disorderly conduct to the sale of drugs. The sweep, which started Monday, is an attempt by police to reduce the growing number of vagrants and transients on downtown streets, which they say is leading to increased crime. Monday, 20 vagrants were hauled to jail from under the 5th Street Bridge, and yesterday, more were taken into custody. Kevin McDowell has that story.
This stretch of Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis is the kind of street with its rundown, empty buildings and seedy look you want to say has seen better days, but even those probably weren't too good. Lately, it's become an area where vagrants congregate. In its two-day cleanup, police yesterday took seven people into custody, some former members of the Hell's Angels with outstanding felony warrants.
is Jackie Lee Steinbach, Jr.
Do you have a home?
Yes, I do.
Where?
In this backpack.
Where are you from?
Beaumont, Texas. B-A-U-M-O-N-T. Roll the camera.
What are you doing up here?
Roll the camera.
It is.
Traveling. Traveling.
Get in that van or I'll throw you in head first.
Why are you arrested?
And I'm a nice guy. I'm out. Where do you call me guys down right now?
What?
You call me what? No good son of a son of a gun.
Many of these transients will end up in the detoxification center.
I'm sober.
Want to go back to Texas?
Police say that they're facing a sort of catch-22 in all this, because the vagrants they take to the detox center are out, usually within 72 hours, and that means they're back out here on the street. But police say they'll continue the roundups, hoping that the vagrants get the message. The message simple: get out of town. In Minneapolis, Kevin McDowell, News 11.
This 2 days. I've tried looking up some of the names in this this piece to see if they want to come on and do the show, but I've not been able to find them yet.
Good luck.
So that you get a little flavor of Block E, and if you thought that report was fun, Channel 11, this particular newscast, decided to take it one step further. They brought the photographer to do a night scope, the night camera video. She's going down Block E undercover to really get a firsthand idea on what Block E is. So let's look at this is from Barb Hill. She was a photographer at Channel 11, and this is her going undercover, walking through Block E and finding some even more interesting characters that might be known as street people.
The correct crackdown on crime in Minneapolis that our investigative team has been covering. It's been underway all spring along Hennepin Avenue, and tonight we get a first-hand look at that. News 11 photographer Barb Hill has been covering the sweep and volunteered to take part while our cameras recorded what happened. And what happened is not nice. Here's what she found along Hennepin Avenue.
Hello. As I walked down Hennepin Avenue, a lot of questions came to mind. What is it about this street and these people that make me feel so nervous? What?
I want a coffee to live in.
Oh, I'm just going to go get a Coke.
Can I go with you?
No, thanks.
Please.
No, thanks. The answers were easy. On Hennepin Avenue, many men assume the worst about a woman.
Where did you buy those Levi's? I think I like them.
The county seat?
County seat.
Maybe I like you. What are you doing?
Waiting for a bus.
Want to go out?
What?
Want to go out and have a girlfriend?
What are you talking about?
Hey, well.
No, thanks.
So Barb ran into a few characters who wanted to enjoy her company.
Man, that's creepy. That is creepy.
Check out the video. It's on tcmedianow.com. If you search for Block E or if you search for WTCN, you'll find it. It's actually an hour-long video of other news that day, but they do Nightscope is what it's called, and it's at the time, this is the mid-80s, so the video, night video has not been specialized yet, but she's walking to Hennepin Avenue, the same spots that we were just talking about, and a lot of action going on there. A lot of people that had the day off of work, apparently, were down there and asking Barb what she's up to and following around. It's very very candid video. And since Block E was, you know, demolished 25 years ago, there's very little actual footage of Block E that exists. There is about 3 seconds of the Schubert Theater in Purple Rain that you can see, but it's besides some photographs.
That's about it.
There's some photographs. There's actually a couple of different Facebook fan pages. I want to play one more clip. This is actually off the website. And this is, again, Moby's, which it was an infamous bar in downtown Minneapolis and Block E. And this is one of the many stories that I've run across on what to do with Moby's.
The bar Minneapolis police are called to more often than any other will likely be closing down for a month. The City Council License Committee today recommended a one-month suspension of Moby Dick's license. The suspension follows a raid at the bar in December in which nine people, including some bar employees, were arrested on drug charges. City officials expect Moby Dick's to be permanently closed in June when all the buildings on the block are torn down to make way for a parking lot. A nearby bar owner says customers often ask him if he expects the clientele from Moby Dick's to move to surrounding bars, but Steve Schussler says he's not worried.
The Loon Cafe, Cheers, Jose's, the Pacific Club. You've got beautiful restaurants in the neighborhood. I don't think any of them are going to allow those kind of people in them.
Now, the full council and the mayor must still approve the license suspension at Moby Dick's. Ruth?
And that was a similar story that had been played over, over and over again. What to do with Moby's, with the, and in fact, the video, and this, that's a piece from KSVP in March of 88. The paddy wagon is sitting outside Moby's right there waiting, waiting. I think the guests walk in and they walk right out into the paddy wagon to a, to an evening of county jail.
You knew what you were expecting when you went in there.
I think they might, and that's at tcmedianow.com. This is Flashback Twin Cities. Let's take a break. We come back. I actually have a person who might have been in Moby's maybe once. His name is Brian Lambert. He writes the Daily Glean for Min Post and was the media critic of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We'll be back with Brian Lambert on Clubville 20, KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities. I'm Tom Osman on KLEB Club 1220, and with a live in studio guest, the writer of the Daily Glean every day on MinPost.com, Brian Lambert.
How you doing, Tom?
Good morning. Welcome to.
That's twice a day, you know.
That's twice,
twice a
right.
day on the Glean.
Morning,
there.
Morning, and afternoon edition.
Yeah,
well, I'm
a lot of work out of me.
It's the first thing I do, and it's the mid morning treat to be able to see what's going on in the Glean.
I had to laugh at the investigative crew that Channel 11 used to send.
Investigative crew. You take a camera.
Otherwise known as a camera crew.
You take a camera and a photographer. That's investigative. It was no I-team, was it? No, it was
just have her walk down the street and see what happens.
We're investigating.
Let's remember, this was the third place newscast, which no one watched. You gotta do something. You gotta take Netscope.
That would have been what? That would have been Paul's, one of his first couple of years,
that
right?
That was about a second year. That was 1985. Yeah. That was when it was still called WTCN, Twin Cities Newspapers.
I think their ratings spiked in the early 90s or something like that.
Yeah, 1987 was the first year they were number one.
Is that what it was?
Number one, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might have been to Moby's once or twice.
A couple times, yeah.
And it was now is this exaggeration? Is the news exaggerating of the seedy element of Moby's, or was it just a misunderstood neighborhood bar which just wanted to serve the needs of its community?
No, it was seedy.
That's every bar.
It was seedy. There was. You know, you had all these street people, Steve Schussler, you know, you're talking about the folks that are not going to be allowed into the good restaurants. Yeah, they were all over there at Moby's.
Well, you know, you and today, Brian does a lot of interviews. He does interviews for Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. You've done it for Minnesota Monthly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to interview you today, and we're going to learn more about you through this next 40 minutes here.
Could be dull or embarrassing, one or the other.
But you did a show on cable access mm-hmm. back in the mid-80s called The Facts. Mm-hmm. And this was on for what, 4 or 5 years, The Facts?
Long run. It was on longer than Star Trek.
It was longer than Star Trek. Yeah. And probably, you know, probably even a more loyal fan base than Star Trek.
It was, none of our fans wore antennas on their heads, though. So
it was kind of a view of its day, you know, about four or five panels of four or five discussing vital issues of the day. And I think one of the first videos, this is actually on tcmedianow.com, was the Mondale candidacy. It's over with. It's done. It's he lost the primary to Gary Hart, and it's done. That was one of the first topics of The Facts. But you did a...
That's the Walter Mondale that went on to get the
nomination. Right, exactly. Yeah,
yes, But we had him written off. Yeah.
But you did this great piece, and it's one of the most popular videos on the website in Block E. You decided to break... You did the same thing that 11 did. You went down to Block E.
And I was... It was a one-man investigative crew, Tom.
One-man investigative
crew.
One-man
investigative.
Let's... I want to just get a little bit of a glimpse of this through audio here, of Brian Lambert investigating Block E.
Think they ought to keep this block behind us or tear it down?
Tear it down.
Tear it down. Think just bad elements here?
Yeah, and get rid of the tramps.
Yeah. Where, do you live downtown?
No, I live in a high-rise, though.
Uh-huh.
I work for the Loaves and Fishers.
Loaves and Fishers. Oh, yeah, Leo, how you doing?
Yeah, I've been over 5 years.
5 years. You ever come down here at night alone?
I can take care of myself. I ain't worried.
Yeah?
They don't bother me.
All right. But as far as you're concerned, they ought to tear this place down.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you much. Yeah. I just want to know if you think they ought to level this block. You know, they keep talking about tearing it down. No. What happened to your hair? What did I do that?
I just put dye in it.
I like that. They ought to keep this place, then, you think?
Uh-huh.
Just want to know if you think they ought to tear down Block E here or do something to save it.
Damn right.
Tear it down?
Tear it down.
Tear it down. Just bad element?
Right. Yeah.
What about the argument that it just goes someplace else?
Well, let someplace else worry about it.
Like Des Moines.
That's right.
You think they ought to level it? Is there anything worth saving here?
No, not really.
Really?
Nothing.
Doesn't matter to you if it goes or stays.
It don't, really.
Yeah. Yeah. You live in town here? Or,
North Minneapolis.
Yeah. The main thing is the crime, of course. They say it deters people from coming across from, downtown and all that.
No, that's not so.
Yeah.
It's not going to tear down buildings, not going to stop the crime.
There's a survey for cable TV in St. Paul. This block here, do you think they ought to tear it down?
That's right. I think they should.
Yeah?
The whole thing.
But what about the color and the spice of life it adds to otherwise drab and dull Minneapolis?
I think it sucks.
All right. That's exactly the point. Thank you. I think they ought to tear this block down. They call it a blight for years. Is there anything worth saving here?
Yeah, Moby's.
Moby's, yeah. So what happens to Moby's if it goes? What happens to everyone's style of life?
I think they should keep Moby's. It's an interesting bar.
Build around it?
Yeah. And I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't drink. I still think Moby's is worth saving.
Still go in there?
On occasion.
Yeah. Diet Pepsi?
No, Coke. Diet Coke.
So, as far as you're concerned, they can keep Moby's and level the rest?
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta have something interesting and strange around town.
Son? I'm 54 years of age. I've been in the British Isles. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And I like John F. Kennedy and all the good things. I don't know, but Hampton Avenue, I used to go to movies down here when I was a young boy.
Gopher Theater?
Yeah, every one of them, every one. My grandmother took me down for lunch every day and everything. And I love this country and this city and this street. It's Hennepin Avenue. You're going to tear Hennepin Avenue down?
Just this block.
Oh,
right behind us. Moby Dicks and all that stuff.
If it don't hurt nobody,
mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian man. I'm a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I have my Bible right here.
All right. They've been trying to tear down this block.
As long as Wrecking Ball doesn't hurt anyone, it might be okay.
The recovering alcoholic is still stopping in the movies.
They just wanted some Coke, man. That's all.
You can get that,
that was,
too.
That was Coca-Cola. Diet Coca-Cola. Our guest
with a hard side of rum.
Well, our guest is Brian Lambert of MinPost, and that, again, was... it's called Block E Manless Street Interview.
What year was that again?
1986, according to the tape label.
Yeah.
It was 1986.
Yeah.
And it's some of the few moving images of Block E that still exist. And in that static shot, you see the traffic and shinders in and out of those brown bags.
Mm.
You know, it's
they were all getting their Financial Times, and the Wall Street Journal.
Forbes. Right.
Forbes,
right,
exactly.
So talk a little bit about what's going on with the Glean. You're working on the Glean now, so you do two updates of the news. And what's the theme of it? It's kind of a headlines brief.
a lot of the internet and news-wise is basically cobbling stuff together that other people have produced. And this is remarkably popular for some reason. People might be familiar with the Huffington Post,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. That's what they live off of,
right.
is work that other people have done. So I have to that's kind of what I do. So I scan the news and pick out interesting items, and occasionally we'll make a comment about what I think is happening there. And MinPost is something else. I mean, they're actually doing their own reporting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm... A little silo onto myself.
A lot of former Star Tribune and Pioneer Press columnists and reporters working at MinPost,
mm-hmm.
Eric Black, Doug Groh, mm-hmm. and of course
David Brower,
right?
Yeah.
And you started. You've been a working journalist for how many years now?
1977.
And that was that the Twin Cities Reader the first?
No, that was the Apple Valley Free Press.
Okay.
Which I'll have to check, but I don't believe is in business anymore. And if you'd known the owner, you'd understand why.
What was your beat? What were you writing on?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything was my beat. Sports,
high
local
school.
Government, police.
High school sports.
High school sports,
sure.
Exactly. And there weren't a lot of perks, although they did pick up the tab for a trip to Churchill, Manitoba, when they captured the beluga whales.
Oh, of course.
That was the highlight of my couple of years there.
And then from there you went to the Twin Cities
Reader.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about that. That was the forerunner of City Pages.
They were they coexisted. Actually, Sweet Potato was the name of the first one, which I believe transformed itself into City Pages. But almost simultaneously, the Twin Cities Reader came around. And the two existed side by side, a very uneasy competition. We were regularly insulted by the City Pages as, the snobs.
So what was the difference between the marketing of City Pages and the Reader?
Virtually none. Mm-hmm. Reader had a bit more of an entertainment bent, mm-hmm. and City Pages prided itself on a little more literary.
A very youthful reporting staff, I'm guessing. A lot of 20-some.
Who else would work for $175 a week?
Not in 2013, probably many actually.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And you were right. You were writing on topics of anything, correct?
I mean, anything. Yeah. It was it eventually evolved into mostly movies and stuff like that.
So media, okay. And
media.
Then one day you get a call from the Pioneer Press from Deborah
Howell,
and mm-hmm. come on down to the Pioneer Press. We have a spot for you.
Yeah, well, there was a little bit more of a gauntlet to run than just come on in and have a chair. But her famous line was. Looking at my resume, said you've done a lot of different things, milk truck driver. Yada,
oh, sure,
yada,
right.
Yada.
Yeah.
Says I like that, and because that was the first time I'd heard that. Really, you do? Yeah, okay.
Well,
you're hired.
I recall you mentioning in one of the columns. I think when she passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, you said, "Do you like TV or do you watch TV?" And I think you could, "Well, no, I
said,
don't."
No.
Because well, good. You're a TV critic.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, she wanted somebody that they regarded television as competition.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the point in publicizing the competition?
Right.
On the other hand, if you could write about TV and with all of its warts, that had the effect of diminishing your competition.
Well, you're also not only writing about the national big TV movie of the week's coming up or TV series are out there.
Yeah.
You're writing about the local news people,
yeah.
and that can get a little bit sensitive sometimes because as
member
of the media, here you are, being a critic. Of the media, and I know that
they did not exactly appreciate
you,
that.
Especially when it was local TV news.
I keep telling people there are every journalist in the Twin Cities is God's gift to the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
and each of them, there's no higher authority on journalistic ethics. And so you had to deal with that story by story.
And do you recall so you wrote a lot of columns, and I read many of these columns. What was can you recall a column in the early days? The first time you wrote about TV news that might have caused a little bit of a you got a response back or you got a call back from one of the station managers or a program director and said what are you thinking here? What are you doing?
Well, I do remember one of Channel 4, and actually at the time, this would be in the early 90s, I think, 4, in my opinion, was doing some of the more interesting work in town.
Mm-hmm.
They did have the I-Team up,
mm-hmm.
and this was before they were taken over by Lowe's and then CBS,
right.
And it was still local management. And but they got wound up in an investigative story, truly an investigative story. It wasn't just a reporter walking down the street. As we heard in your opening segment.
Right, right,
there.
Right.
And they clearly had this guy identified as a murderer, without certain pertinent facts. And basically all hell was breaking loose legally. And, I saw the piece and called over and said, what about the point where he's identified as being, I forget all the details now, but as being 40 miles away when this happened? And it got a little glossy and all that. And the piece, what I remember now as I'm talking about it, what I remember what happened was that they assembled the story and then closed in. They had a dramatic closing shot where they panned in slowly on this guy's face kind of with a kind of a, you know, a wipe scene, you know, in movie terms.
Was there music too?
There was dramatic good, music, but it was of the graves and this guy's face. So he was making a big stink. But I wrote the piece, and oh my God, did we get the news director, the general manager? They're all calling into you know, the
managing editor,
managing editors of the Pioneer Press. Deb Hall was long gone. She was there 6 months after I started. So.
Did it turn out to be? Was everything true that the
settled out of court? Okay. No admission of guilt.
Okay.
That's how those things are handled.
I always find it amazing. My guess is Brian Lambert. February, May, and November. The sweeps months. Well, yeah. And I'm not sure if it's still in the new media era.
Is
it still February? It is. Okay.
How
much more interesting, we'll call it interesting, can our station's sweeps investigation be? And sometimes you got to wonder, did someone come up with kind of a Hollywood script and they went in there and they thought of a five-part series for a sweeps month or a sweeps month week? Could be from Satanic Rituals, or it could be undercover housekeepers that might have been wearing
nothing at all.
Well, I was going to say swimming trunks, and it's a 5-part series. I love it. It was a 5-part series, and they bring the reporter onto the set.
More pixelation tomorrow night.
This is the week where you'll see the reporter will actually come on the set. I mean, they'll come actually 10 o'clock at night. They'll be on set to give that extra little clarity.
Gravity
of what they just were speaking about.
Yeah.
Tell me, you got to have at least two or three good sweep memories that you wrote about.
Well, as you and I have talked, Tom, I mean, as far as I was concerned, the all-time classic was a Channel 5 piece about and you kind of alluded to it, about housekeepers. And of course, this was all hidden camera stuffed in a bag in the corner to watch what was going on.
I'm loving it already.
Yeah, the call goes in, you hire this young lady to come over and clean your house. Well, we are shocked to find out, A, that this young lady is dusting and vacuuming topless. Furthermore, as the series goes on, the closing line is that we're astounded to realize that this young lady, this sweet young lady we see in this pixelated video, is a prostitute. She's engaging in, sexual relations for money. Who would have thought? Who would have guessed? But the hype and everything that went on. But like you say, these story ideas circulate around the country.
Yeah. Right,
if it worked in Fresno,
right,
there's no reason why it can't work in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Well, it's the same national consultants that work in New York and Los Angeles. You mentioned to me, we were talking a little bit, that you were in L.A. Mm. Tell me the story. You're in L.A. and L.A. is the
just recently.
Yeah. California. We have some of the greatest centers of technology and
Propulsion Laboratory.
Right.
Huge laboratories.
Our friend Paul Majors, you heard some audio of him a little bit ago, and he is the news anchor at KCBS in L.A. And what was his first story that night?